Chapter 4. Draco can't blame Ginny. She doesn't know it's a lie. He never dreamed the man she wanted to set him up with would not only be her ex, but Harry fucking Potter himself. Even when the man had introduced himself as Harry, Draco didn't let his mind go there. Harry is a very common British name, he had reasoned. And Potter had never once given any public indication of being interested in men. Then again, neither had he. And the voice. It could go either way. Whenever the two of them had spoken to one another at Hogwarts, they hadn't exactly played nice. He didn't know what civil Harry sounded like, or friendly Harry, or flirty Harry, or drop-dead sexy please let me shag you under the table, Harry. Now he knew. But then Potter had to go and ruin it by talking about his owl. Everyone knows about Hagrid for Merlin's sake. They've done entire pieces on her in The Prophet. Snowy owls sell for 3 times the price of any other breed now. And then he asked that fucking question. Do you know who I am? He couldn't pretend after that. And if Potter ever found out, hell, hell, hell. No. But he won't. And it's too bad. Unsurprising, considering how his life has turned out thus far. But too bad. He'd actually been looking forward to the date. He hadn't bothered with the glamour, just the name. If it had gone well enough, he would have stepped into the light and let the man decide for himself if him being Draco Malfoy was a problem. Maybe the man would have seen him as one who was really trying to redeem himself. To be better. He already was better, after all. It wasn't just that he was trying to appear that way. And perhaps there was someone out there who would take his word at face value again. But Potter never would. Not in a million years. Not even if the kiss between them rivaled fiendfire in its intensity. Which it had. Fucking hell. And now I'll have to bugger up his evening with a call to the center. He hates calling at night. He prefers to be painting or sleeping when the sky goes dark. It doesn't do to dwell on things then. It cuts too close. He'd been so preoccupied with the idea of his first date in months that he'd forgotten to call at all yesterday. And this morning he'd slept right through the usual call hours. The rest of the day is booked up with ad hoc consults. So we'll have to make up for it by checking in this evening with one of the stand-ins. If he goes longer than 48 hours without checking in, the higher-ups get involved. And Merlin, he doesn't want that again. He's been doing well. Or he had been prior to the anonymous date with Potter fuck-up. It's been a long time since he's seriously thought of putting an end to things. That's not to say it's never crossed his mind, but it's easier to manage now. He doesn't hover over every bridge anymore, or pause before crossing a busy street. He doesn't hold the razor sharply against his own neck when shaving, wondering just how long it would take to bleed out. It's interesting, objectively at least, that the only methods that ever appealed to him were entirely Muggle. Another form of penance, perhaps. They died by magic, so he would die by common violence. But no. He doesn't need to. He'll pay in other ways. Has been paying. It's been easier since he created Ad-Rock. But he knows that can't last forever either. It's been a stepping stone, and he can feel his feet moving towards the next step, whether he's ready or not. He approaches the Burrow with a finished portrait of Fred in hands and sighs. He will have to tell Ginny. It isn't working anyway. This whole hiding while improving oneself plan, he can't hide from himself. And besides that, it's utterly exhausting. But the starving artist will have to be the one to knock on the door, or he won't make it as far as the front lawn. He raps on the weather-beaten door. Molly answers. Hello, dear.
Oh.
Her eyes fall on the portrait and fill up immediately.
Oh, it's perfect. How did you?
She cups her hand over her mouth and closes her eyes, letting the tears fall. Draco smiles in spite of himself. He's proud of his work. It isn't easy to compete with moving photographs and talking portraits. Doing things the Muggle way requires an extra skill, a way of capturing someone's essence in one still shot and letting it hold you. He has studied a lot since the war, visiting every art museum he could, buying every art book he found. No one there to stop him now. He's found a technique that suits him. Broad brush strokes and vivid colors. The finished results, somehow soft and sharp at once. He spends most of his time on the eyes and takes great satisfaction in getting them perfect. "Ginny! Ginny, dear, come here!" Molly cries, beckoning from the front step. She turns back to Draco. "Oh, where's my head? Come in, Adrock. I've just finished a brambleberry pie." She takes the portrait from him and walks through the door, smiling down at it. Draco follows her. Ginny sits at the corner and looks up at Draco. "Adrock, I didn't expect you." She smiles slyly. Potter must not have told her about last night yet. She's probably rabid for details, but she knows better than to ask him while Molly is present. "Ginny, look, he's finished it." Molly beckons again. She could just turn it around in her arms to show Ginny, but she can't seem to take her eyes from it long enough to do so. Ginny raises her eyebrows, and he can guess what she's thinking. And she's not wrong. If he had time to finish the portrait last night, the date must not have gone well. He meets her gaze and shakes his head. She frowns. "Ginevra! It's impolite to ignore someone who's trying to get your attention." Ginny sighs. When Molly had hired him, Ginny had confided that while she was sure his work was very good, she wasn't sure if her mother's obsession with mourning Fred was entirely healthy. They already had so many photographs, and Molly wouldn't let a day go by without going through them, as if it would be some sort of betrayal to enjoy a day without seeing his face. Draco understood Ginny's concern. His mother was like that about his father, who had been executed 6 months ago. It was one of the reasons he could hardly stand being at the manor. But he has to fulfill every commission request. He finds he can't do otherwise. So many people he feels responsible for. So many deaths on his hands. So even though he doesn't have her approval, he hopes Ginny will see he's at least done a decent job. Molly is still gazing down at the portrait. "All right, Mom. Put it down so I can have a proper look," Ginny huffs. Molly leans down and slowly places the portrait on the floor, propped against the wall, then backs away. Ginny ambles towards her and looks over Molly's shoulder to see the portrait. An audible gasp escapes her lips. "You see," Molly says softly, "it's perfect." Ginny looks away, wiping her eyes, then back. It's so... him. Adrock, how did you..." "That's what I said, dear," Molly whispers, reaching behind her for Ginny's hand. Draco doesn't want to ruin the moment, but he does want to leave, and he's not doing it without telling the truth. He clears his throat. "I'm so pleased you like it," he begins.
"Like doesn't begin to describe it," Molly gushes. "You must let us pay you something."
His resolve weakens momentarily. If she knew who he was, would she feel the same way? "Absolutely not," he says, brushing her aside. "It was my pleasure. But if you don't mind, I need to speak to Ginevra about a private matter before I go."
"Of course," Molly waves them off.
"In the garden, Adrock?" Ginny asks. Draco nods. Once outside, Ginny nudges him. "So?" He tries to smile. "So, I'm sorry. It didn't go well." Ginny. "Really? It didn't?" Draco shakes his head. "No. Is there any particular reason you declined to tell me you were setting me up with Harry Potter? who also happens to be your ex-boyfriend? Ginny shifts her weight uncomfortably.
Well, you probably won't believe me because you don't know him, but he seems so lonely. I thought you two would be good together, and I wanted him to make the choice to tell you who he was. That's why I was so in favor of that noir place. I suppose I thought that sort of thing should happen naturally. It didn't go well at all?
Draco hesitates. Potter? Lonely? It's never crossed his mind. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't. It went well until I knew who he was.
Ginny narrows her eyes.
And then what?
And then I left, he says flatly.
And then you what? Ginny fumes. You left him there? In the bloody dark?
I'm sorry. If you knew, you would understand.
I don't think so. Ad-Rock, it took a lot for Harry to trust me with all this. How could you do that? Do you hate him or something?
No, Draco says firmly.
And it's true, he doesn't.
I did it because the truth is...
Ginny arches an eyebrow. He's not getting away until he finishes that sentence.
Look, Harry and Ad-Rock would be great together. But Harry and I would not.
He slides his wand out of his pocket and points it at himself.
Revelio.
The paint-splattered jeans and white cut-off t-shirt disintegrate to reveal navy blue wizard robes. The mane of tawny brown curls falls away as his glossy platinum locks settle perfectly in place. Blue eyes fade to gray. Ginny stands frozen and gaping.
I'm sorry, Ginevra.
The slap across his face is reminiscent of the other time he managed to go too far with one of Potter's female friends. He's deserved it both times, but knowing that does not stop it from stinging. He rubs his jaw and prepares for a proper telling off.
But you, she stammers, and the portrait, and Mom!
I know, he says simply.
Then Harry!
So you see.
For a moment, it looks as though she'll walk away from him into the house, but instead she stands her ground.
But it was a good date. Before that?
Draco can't believe what he's hearing.
What?
You two, you hit it off?
Well, yes, but that's hardly the...
And he doesn't know?
No.
Good, then you're seeing him again.
What?
Now it's his turn to look incredulous. Are you a sadist?
Look who's talking, she mutters under her breath.
And damn it, he deserves that too. But her face changes.
I know you aren't who you were then, she says softly.
I see how you are with Mom. And your portraits have a certain hurt to them. That can't be faked. We've all changed.
Her eyes glaze over for a moment before she snaps back to him.
So you're going to listen to my idea and you're going to agree with it.
Draco nods dumbly. This fucking day.
I don't care how you do it, by owl or fire call or singing telegram, but you're going to apologize to Harry and ask him out again.
That's your idea? What if he says no?
That's up to him. But at least he won't have to wonder what the hell happened or if it was his fault.
No, we wouldn't want that, would we? He says more to himself.
You want me to tell him?
Whatever you like, she throws up her hands.
Explain it. Don't explain it. It's your funeral.
She steps forward and jabs him in the chest.
But you're going to fix it.
The flush of her cheeks drowns out her freckles, and wisps of copper hair make a faint halo around her head, curling in the humidity. He has to admit, she's positively radiant when she's angry. He can, for the first time, see how Harry might have been drawn to her.
Right, he says curtly, swatting her away. Seeing as I'd like to keep my dignity and my life, I'll go with the glamour then. Unless you think Potter might actually buy the Death Eater with a heart of gold bit. Former Death Eater, isn't it? She glares. He could hug her for it. When it comes to Potter, I wouldn't split hairs. Ginny's expression turns panicked, which doesn't make any sense until he hears an all too familiar voice behind him.
Malfoy?
Draco whips around to see Harry standing on the lawn, staring him down.
Does he have to be literally fucking everywhere?
It's more than a stare, really. It's like he's seeing Draco for the first time. Draco unwittingly returns the favor. Potter's grown taller, but he's not the scrawny teenager Draco remembers. His new physique is wiry, his shoulders broadened, and his stance confident. But then, Potter was always too confident. And he is classically handsome now, Draco observes. Really? Did the universe have to throw that in? St. Potter the Roguish? What the hell are you doing here? Potter demands, hands on his wand. But the familiar snarl has lost its edge. It's a half-hearted effort at best. Come down, Harry, Ginny cuts in. He works for Ad-Rock. He delivers for him. So now he's a Death Eater turned delivery boy. Adorable. Potter's mouth twists in confusion. That mouth kissed me last night, Draco can't help thinking. If he were to close his eyes, every detail would come rushing back. So he doesn't, of course. But then Potter blinks slowly and musses his hair, and the details come rushing back anyway. Fuck. Draco can feel the heat behind his ears. Ad-Rock doesn't deliver his own work? Harry asked doubtfully. Ginny flushes. He's very busy, very in demand. She looks to Draco for help. He just rolls his eyes. Clearly, if last night was any indication, Harry mutters.
Yes, very busy, Draco says too late, recognizing an out when he hears one. So I'd better be going. He nods towards them, Potter, Weasley, and makes his way down the walkway.
Wait a minute, Ginny calls. She skips over to him. Potter's eyes follow her, occasionally flitting to Draco with thinly veiled suspicion.
Yes.
He scowls to give his best bored Draco impression. Stay a while. You might learn something. She tilts her head ever so slightly back in Harry's direction.
I've learned enough about Potter's dislike for me for a lifetime, thank you. And I doubt he would be forthcoming about anything else while I'm around.
So don't be around, Ginny shrugs, as if it made all the sense in the world.
I'm sorry, Draco sneers. But you aren't actually suggesting I hide in the bushes or something ludicrous so I can eavesdrop on Potter bearing his soul to you?
Exactly, Ginny winks. This is exactly what I am not suggesting.
Draco groans. Get thee behind me, Salazar.
She gives him a wry smile and casts another furtive glance at Potter, then lowers her voice further. You're a talented wizard, Draco. You can do better than hiding in the bushes. With that, she turns on her heel to take Potter's arm and leads him back into the house. Draco walks away. Pretends to walk away? He steps behind a tree to curse under his breath and cast a disillusionment spell. This has got to be one of the most ridiculous things he's ever done. But now that Ginny has planted the idea, his curiosity won't let him reject it. Settling for a spot just outside the window, Draco leans against the red brick, closing his eyes and straining his ears. He hears Potter first. You and Malfoy appear to be deep in conversation, he observes.
Nothing you need to worry about, Ginny says airily.
He wasn't causing trouble?
No, Harry, he was doing his job. he seems a decent person now, you know? I don't, and I'm not sure how you do after one interaction. But whatever, I'm not here to talk about him. Okay, but before I hear about your hot date, I want to show you something. Draco hears their footsteps creaking on the floor, drawing nearer to where he is. Isn't it wonderful? Adrock painted it. Harry doesn't respond at first, but Draco thinks he hears an intake of breath. It's amazing, Jen. I've never seen anything like it. Draco's heart swells. He's talented, I'll give him that. But that's all? Ginny prods. Well, seeing as he left halfway through our date, after I told him who I was, I can't give him much else, no. Oh no, I'm sorry, Harry. And she sounds it. Don't be, it's not your fault. He sighs. I guess if he scares that easily, he's not worth it. It hurts hearing him say it, knowing it's probably true. You guess? Bless the woman. Did have a damn good first kiss, though. His voice is low and playful. Draco feels the air pulled out of his lungs. What? Ginny squeals. Was it better than our first kiss? Don't ask me that, Harry laughs. It's not fair. Ginny gasps. Helga Hufflepuff! It was better, wasn't it? Draco knows she's doing this partly for his benefit. Whether to torture him or encourage him, he can't quite decide. Jen, our first kiss was great, okay? It was romantic and surprising and very lovely. He trails off. Uh-huh. Lovely like kissing your auntie, she deadpans. But this kiss had... It was... Ugh, why am I telling you this? Because I want to know, idiot! Now keep going. This kiss? She is admirably relentless, Draco thinks. There was... chemistry. A lot of chemistry, okay? The way it felt, the way he... Shut up! Haven't said a word. But you're smirking, Ginevra Weasley. So? It's not often I get to hear you go on like a lovesick schoolboy. Ginny, Potter is pleading now. Could you not? Okay, she relents. I'm sorry. Good, he says sharply. Because I can't stop thinking about it, and it's making me fucking furious. Oh. She sounds like she knows what's coming. Draco, on the other hand, hasn't heard him like this before. He's heard him angry plenty of times, but this is different. Yeah. His voice picks up speed and volume. I can't believe being Harry Potter is still fucking up my life. Is it too much to ask that I get to go on living like a normal person? No, Harry. I didn't ask for this. And now I'm gay too, as if that isn't the icing on the fucking cake. They're quiet, probably hugging or some Gryffindor thing. Come on, Harry, let's have some pie. That was supposed to be his pie. Yeah, okay. Sorry, Jen. I know. At least you'll always have Mr. Snark, she teases. Draco has no idea what she's on about. Ha ha, very funny. He stopped calling anyway. I guess I have that effect on men. How's Molly? Draco peels himself away from the wall as the conversation inside turns to small talk. Ginny was right, bloody witch. He learned something all right, but it's not going to help him the way she seemed to think it would. No, quite the opposite. He kicks a cobblestone out of the way and sweeps down the path, waiting until he's around the corner before removing the disillusionment charm. Potter wanted him. Or something about him, anyway. Draco had been himself in everything but name that night, and Potter liked it. Potter's upset it didn't work out. What is he supposed to do with that information? And now Ginny wants him to go through with it again?
Is she completely mad? How would that solve anything? Once at home in his artist loft, Draco loses the robes and sprawls out on the futon bed in front of the window. He allows himself, just this once, to think about the kiss. Potter's musky scent, his mouth tasting of cream, his hand trailing up his neck and threading through Draco's hair. He's completely fucked, and he knows it. Ginevra, I'll do what we agreed to, but please give me some time to figure out the best course of action. I do not go into this lightly. Thank you for your understanding. DM. Draco, of course. We can't thank you enough for the portrait. I think it's going to help Mum somehow. You do good work. Be careful, or people might start thinking you're a good person. Ginny. When he wakes the next morning, Draco still hasn't figured out what to do. Last night's call to the center was no help. The stand-in, even greener than the volunteer he usually speaks to, kept telling him to make a list of pros and cons, whatever the hell that would accomplish. He eyes the fireplace with disdain. The chatty, incompetent volunteer he spoke with last week put him off a bit, but for different reasons. There was something familiar in the exchanges that unsettled him. At least he had a sense of humor, though. If there's anything he can't stand, it's being coddled. He checks his watch, 11:26 in the morning, and he's done nothing all day. His brushes rest clean and dry on his desk. He's got a list of commissions as long as his wand, but he hasn't filled up to starting one yet. With a sigh, he clears the soot away from the grate. He's got to get out of this rut somehow. He ducks in, speaks his spell, and waits.